This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
By the book on BFM 89.9.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to By the Book. I am Lee Chui Lin, and with me is my fellow girl, Sharmila Ganesan. Hello.
Always. Hello.
And as our introduction usually, for reasons that are amusing, I think only to us at this point, contain hints as to what the rest of the show is going to be. And today we have joining us over Skype, Hannah Alkaff, who is the author of The Weight of Our Sky, and actually the book that we're talking about today, which is The Girl and the Ghost. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone.
So I guess before we get into the interview itself, just a brief introduction of, actually, this one is all in the title. The Girl and the Ghost tells a story of a girl and a ghost of sorts that she inherits, I think, from a mysterious grandmother. And so, Hannah, can you maybe talk to us about where the idea for this story came from? I think in the acknowledgements, you sort of called it your strange grasshopper story. And I just wanted to know, you know, how it came to be.
Basically, I was a kid who was always very into creepy things, who grew up into adult who really enjoys creepy things. And we always grow up with the supernatural sort of as part of the world that we live in. Malaysians in particular, I think, just sort of come to accept it as a part of our world and our background and our environment. And so I really wanted to write that kind of ghost story because I'd heard before from a friend that you can inherit a ghost like a palisade or some kind of dark spirit and not even know that you've inherited it. And so it always struck me, like, what if you were a child who had inherited this dark and frightening and powerful thing and you had no idea really what it was? And how much can you influence somebody's nature by treating them differently than how everybody else has treated them their entire life? And these were just sort of things that I wanted to play with in a ghost story. And yes, I called it my weird ghost grasshopper book for a long time because when I started writing it, I really wasn't sure that it was a book that could sell. I just wanted to write it because I wanted to tell the story. But I couldn't off the top of my head tell you about a similar sort of ghost story for kids in the Western canon. If for the life of me, I couldn't pull out something remotely similar. There are shades of it in other books, but something this specifically, like, grounded in our culture and in our background, I couldn't figure out whether that was a thing that people would actually want. But one thing that I've learned throughout this process of becoming a writer, I guess, is that you can't write the things that people want, or at least you can't do that in a way that feels authentic, or at least I can't do that in a way that feels real and authentic and meaningful. And so I just write the stories that I wish I'd had growing up, and then I see what happens from there.
So, I mean, that's actually quite interesting because it is a book about a palisade. It's mm-hmm. very much set in Malaysia, but it's also, ultimately, it's a middle grade level fantasy. But mm-hmm. was that something you started off with? Because there are things in it that are also kind of dark. So did you have a particular audience in mind as a reader when you started off writing?
The audience that I always start out with in mind is always Malaysian kids. It's always Malaysian kids. Everybody else is a nice incidental bonus, if you will. If adults enjoyed the book, great. If Western kids enjoyed the book, great. But really my focus first and foremost is Malaysian kids and has always been. Now, it's funny that you say it's quite dark for a middle grade book, because I could tell you that one of the things that I was told after the book sold by my editor was, we're going to have to tone down the scary bits.
Oh.
So this is already the version that has some bits sort of toned down or taken out or just, you know, just made a little more palatable for a young audience. So yeah, But it still remains a fairly dark and creepy book.
Well, that's actually something I wanted to know about, because when it starts off being the story of Pink the Palisade, but then it also expands from there into you meet different forms of ghosts and ghouls, some of whom are familiar, I think, some of whom were at least new to me. And so I guess in pulling and assembling this motley crew, how many of the creatures in the book were you familiar with? How many were new to you? Did you go around asking people for ghost stories?
I always go around asking people for ghost stories anyway, because that's just fun. But I would say most of them were pretty familiar to me. I purposely included some that were perhaps less common, quote unquote, common. Just to spice things up, but also just to add some variety. All of us know a certain few, I guess, like the all-star ghosts of Malaysia. And I kind of wanted to introduce some backbenchers, you know, bring in some new characters. That was actually a lot of fun researching ghost stories. Although I have to tell you, my writing time, because I have two small children, is usually confined to late nights. And this was sort of the worst possible story to be working on when you only have writing time late at night. So that was fun for me.
brightly lit rooms all the time.
Suddenly every little noise was like, I am imagining 10 different scenarios and none of them are good. So it was fun in a lot of different ways. So much fun.
So to move away maybe from the ghostly aspect of the book a little bit, the heart of the story actually really is Soraya, the main girl that we kind of almost see grow up in a way, because we meet her when she's 3, 4. And, you know, I love that she's a character who's just really true to herself. She's strong. Was it important to you that the book had a strong female character at its heart?
Yes. And it was particularly important to me that it was a strong, young Malay girl at its heart, who was secure enough in herself. Obviously, you see her with these insecurities. You see her with her own doubts and her own fears and having to deal with these things that really, well, hopefully no child ever should have to deal with. And I love her in contrast with Jing, who is a character who is so very much outwardly and openly herself. So they're both living their own selves, but in different ways. And I just think it was really important to me for young Malay kids or young Malaysian kids in general also to see characters who were entirely happy in their own skin, who didn't feel the need to change themselves in order to fit in. Now, this is a middle grade book, and Soraya in the book is 12, sort of on the cusp of 13, right? And that for me was very much a time of where friendships were paramount and where there was a lot of thinking about who I needed to be in order to be the right kind of friend or to find the right kind of friend, to keep the right kind of friend, without necessarily giving a lot of thought to what right meant. And so I just really wanted to write a story where the protagonist has to deal with all these things. I don't want to sugarcoat that and say, like, that's not important, you know, or later on it'll be fine and all that stuff. When you're that age, it's not fine. That's what you're dealing with. And it's so easy for us as adults who have gone through it already to sort of gloss over those things and be like, yeah, don't worry, lah, small matter. Lah. That person don't want to be friends with you. That's fine. Lah. You go and find somebody else to be friends with. Like, it's so easy to say, but in the moment, it is so difficult for you to process these kinds of things. Now, when I was 12, 13, those kinds of relationships had such an impact on me, and those kinds of friend breakups I still remember the heartache of those fights and those breakups and the being ostracized by a certain group and having to start over with a different group and all these things. And it was just something I really wanted to write into a story, while giving kids hope that you can find the friends you are meant to be with. Like, it doesn't have to be this constant struggle of, do I fit in? Should I fit in with this person? How do I fit in with this person? Like, friendship shouldn't be that hard, right? So it was really important to me that that was something that came through in the story.
We're talking today with Hannah Alkaff, who is the author of The Girl and the Ghost, which is the book that we're talking about. How do you feel about middle grade books, I suppose, that explore scarier elements? Do you remember reading and enjoying these books when you were a kid? Do you enjoy ghost stories? You can tell us your thoughts, share what you think by WhatsApping 018-789-8899 and tweeting us at BFM Radio. You're listening to Buy the Book on BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you are listening to Buy the Book with Lynn and Sharmila, and joining us today is Hannah Alkaff, author of, among other books, The Girl and the Ghost, which is the book that we're focusing on today. And I wanted to pick up, Hannah, on something that you mentioned earlier, which is the fact that there's a strong thread through the book about how, in some ways, even if you try, one sometimes can't help one's nature. And this is truest when you're talking about things that are wild and dark and uninhibited. And I've always loved children's stories that explore that, because I think that in some ways, children are that, right? Children are that sort of pure id, you know? You
pure want what you chaos.
Want. Yes, I think. Exactly.
If you've met my children at a certain age, they just feel like pure chaos.
So could you maybe talk to us about that idea and how it feeds the story, the idea that you just can't help your nature and it is what it is?
I think in Pink in particular, you see this idea of you can't stop being who you were made to be, who you were born to be. But I also think there's a lot of pushback within the story about who gets to decide what it is that you are, and why do you have to go along with that, and who gets to make these decisions for you, who makes this mold for you, which allows you, I think, to push back against this idea of, oh, no, this is what you were made to be, you're always going to be like this, you can't avoid your nature, you can't avoid what you were created. Who gets to decide what your nature is, really, first of all? That's like saying that I can only be a certain way because I look a certain way, right? Or that you can only be a certain way because you look a different way. And I think it's important to push back against that idea, especially in books for younger readers. I think it's really important to explore the ways in which you are told what you need to be, and the ways in which the pull in the other direction that you may feel. And that it's okay to have that be confusing to figure out. And it's okay to have that be a process, like the figuring out of it be a process. But I do think it's important to push back against this idea of, because you were born in this circumstance, you must live this circumstance. I think that's a very important thing to discuss in kids' books.
Mm. Now, speaking of nature and, you know, this idea of being born to be something or not, you know, one of the characters in the book is a huge Star Wars fan.
Huge.
huge. Like, a huge as in, I think she lives it and breathes it. Was this your own sort of geeky fandom making its way into the book? Or were there specific themes in Star Wars that you felt resonated and wanted to draw on?
You know, I'd like to be that author who's like, I had some real deep, meaningful connections to make between this, you know, amazing fandom and this amazing cultural reset moment of Star Wars and my own book. But really, really, that's just my fandom talking. I'm glad it made it seem like I made some deeper point there. And if somebody brings it up outside of this interview, I will 100% be like, yes, that's what I meant to do. Thanks for noticing.
Ain't no shame in fandom.
Truly, though, I just really love Star Wars. going to pretend otherwise. But it's no coincidence that the things I love about Star Wars are the parts that talk about stories of the underdog, the parts that feature strong female characters. I'm a fan of the new Star Wars trilogies because of the stronger female characters front and center. And that's why I love Star Wars. So it makes sense that it's in the book, the way that the book is set up. But 100%, it was just there because I really love Star Wars. I wish I had some deeper, more meaningful answer for you. But truly, truly, it's just because I could talk about Star Wars all day.
Well, the love really comes through. I will say that.
Absolutely.
It permeates the book. And you spoke earlier about how your ideal reader for this in some ways are Malaysian children. And that's why the story, you know, centered in Malaysian folklore. It's set in our country. But with that said, I think there are also aspects of the book that are reminiscent of other books and authors. And I thought of Neil Gaiman's Graveyard book, for instance, while reading it. Diana Wynne Jones, another one who comes to mind. Did you have specific writers who influenced you while working on this book?
One of my favorite Neil Gaiman books is Coraline, which is a middle grade novel that is extremely dark. And when I sent this to my agent, I actually said, hey, so I wrote this Coraline-esque Malaysian ghost story. Kind of weird, really, but here's like my elevator pitch for it. Do you think that'd be something you might be into? And she went, yes. So yes, I definitely, I read a lot of Neil Gaiman. I've read a lot of Neil Gaiman in my life. And his middle grade works, Coraline and the Graveyard book, both, are books that I particularly love in his catalog of works. It's a vast catalog, and it's probably very hard to choose for a lot of people. But his two forays into middle grade, Coraline and the Graveyard Book, both happen to be really dark and really creepy, and sort of skating this border between, is this really for kids or is it not? But I think that's what the best middle grade is. The best middle grade is written for kids, but can be enjoyed by everybody else. And that's sort of what I was striving for. You mentioned Diana Wynne Jones, and I love her, but truth be told, she wasn't forefront in my mind when I was writing this. It was the two Gaiman middle grades, and also a middle grade book called The Girl Who Drank the Moon by Kelly Barnhill, which also has this very magical prose all through it, and is a very whimsical, beautiful sort of storytelling going on in there. And those really were where I drew most of my inspiration from.
It actually is really a sort of older approach to talking about children's stories, isn't it? I mean, you're not sanitizing things. It doesn't have an air of hiding things, quote unquote.
It's blood magic. Let's just say it.
Yes. Was this something that you were consciously trying to throw back to? But also at the same time, how do you know where to draw that line?
It was a conscious decision to make it dark. Because I also think that as adults, it's very easy to look at media that's created for younger children and gatekeep and say, this is not suitable for you. I don't think this is right for you. And I don't think, you know, this is what you should be reading. And a lot of times I feel like it's our discomfort that we are dealing with rather than thinking about the child's comfort level, right? Middle grade is a weird space to write just because the book that you end up writing, it's not, your audience is not the one that's purchasing the book for themselves, right? Their parents are going to buy it. Their educators, their librarians, those are the people that are going to put this book in the hands of kids. And so it's very easy then for everything to be filtered through an adult lens, and for us to say, no, this is too dark for you. This is too much for you. I don't think you're ready for this right now. When in when in fact a lot of children's media is dark. And sometimes the darkness is buried a little deeper in some than in others. But I think we also do a real disservice to kids by saying that you can't handle certain things. And that's not to say that you should take this book and put it in the hands of like every kid you see. Obviously, your move may vary. Some kids are better with scary things than others. Some things are better with some kids are better with creepy things than others. But actually, I would argue that some of the darkest parts of the book don't have anything to do with ghosts and have everything to do with humans.
Absolutely.
And at its heart, really, The Girl and the Ghost is a book about being haunted. But hauntings can take a lot of different forms. And it's not the ghosts in the book, I would say, that are the scariest things in it. I'm not in the business of sugarcoating. I think you could tell that from my first book as well. I'm not in the business of sanitizing. I'm in the business of telling stories. And to me, this was the best way to tell this story. It is dark. It is dark. But I also think that a lot of kids are more familiar with the darkness than we realize. And the best thing you can do is not to pretend that darkness doesn't exist, but to give them tools in the narrative to deal with the darkness.
And I think that leads us to our next point, you know, this idea of darkness, because the book, as we've covered, explores huge themes. You know, there's loss, and then there's saying goodbye. There's growing out of and into friendships, which you talked about earlier. Sometimes, I think at that age, you want friendships to last forever. That's when the phrase BFF was born, you know. And yet, this book, in many ways, is very much about how that last part, that forever, may not be the case. Why do you think it's important for younger readers to have the space to explore these ideas? And also, what's your relationship, you know, as a young reader? What do you remember of having the room within fiction as well to think about these things?
Yeah, this was a book that ended up having a lot of heavier themes in it without my even realizing that they sort of snuck in there. My focus when I write a story is always just tell the story first. Like, just as I'm not in the business of sanitizing or sugarcoating, I'm also not in the business of preaching. Like, I don't want to write books for kids that are like, and the moral of the story is, like, I never set out to do that. So when people bring up themes, it's always a bit difficult for me to talk about, because I didn't set out to write a book with these themes. They just sort of came up. I always tell the story first, and if the themes happen to arise, then that's great. But having said that, like I said, kids have to deal with a lot of heavy things. And I feel like the more you try and buffer them from those heavy things at this stage, the less able they are to deal with it, you know, later on. Or at this age, really, because a lot of kids do have to deal with loss and grief and all these things at a young age. And so it's not that I intended necessarily to say, I'm going to write a book with the themes of grief for middle grade readers. Like, it's not what I set out to do. I set out to tell the story first and foremost. But having said that, I do think that you need to equip children to handle these things, because without allowing them those tools, without allowing them the space to process these types of feelings and these types of emotions and these types of heavy, heavy things that they have to deal with, I think you do a great disservice in preparing them. And in particular, I think it's important in narratives for Malaysian kids, because a lot of the times these are not conversations that we are having with our kids at home. We are still people, many of us grew up in households where these conversations are uncomfortable, and because they're uncomfortable, we don't want to have them. But I'm a big fan of making people sit with their discomfort. And I think I do that almost with every book, but I'm a big fan of making people sit with the discomfort and deal with it. And only through dealing with that can you come out stronger, right? So I think it's important to have this narrative thread, and not even necessarily, this isn't like some giant, like, buy my book PSA at the end of this, although I do hope that you buy my book. Thank you for listening. But also just in general, in narratives, I think it's important that you give your kids resilience within stories. And I think it's important not just to give them fairy tales in which princesses are saved and dragons are slain and all these things. I think it's important to teach your kids resilience and to deal with difficult things that you can't run away from. I'm making this book sound less fun by the minute.
Well, no, it's great fun.
It really was a tremendously fun read.
Let us teach your children about loss. Buy my book. No, I'm hoping all of this comes through in a story that's still fun to read for kids. But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna sit back and lie and tell you that, you know, it's all a fun romp and happily ever afters at the end. I mean, yeah, you do get, you know, you do get a good story, I hope. I mean, you know, I if I do say so myself, I guess. But that doesn't mean that a good story can't be meaningful and can't be helpful for your children in a lot of different ways.
So just to wrap up, you describe yourself in many places, actually, as an unabashedly as writing unabashedly Malaysian stories. So Weight of Our Sky dealt with May 13th, our past, but also the idea of jinns. Then this is about Palisade. It's about, you know, Malaysian schoolgirls dealing with family issues. What's next from you?
Well, I recently signed a 2-book deal with Simon & Schuster for 2 young adult novels that will come out in 2022 and 2023. And the first of those is actually a murder mystery set at a competitive Scrabble tournament in Johor. So as you can see, I'm all over the map with the things that I write. There's no one genre that I stick to. It's just sort of whatever is a good story, that's where I'm going to go. But yeah, that's coming up in 2022. I'm actually on deadline for revisions for it right now. So good luck me. But yeah, that's coming out in 2022. I would tell you what's coming out in 2023, but I don't know yet because it hasn't been written. So that is the next thing that I have to figure out once these revisions are done. But yeah, I have multiple projects on the back burner at all times. I say back burner, really what's happening is I'm switching them from burner to burner and hoping nothing catches fire. So, but 2022 is when you can expect my next book. Yeah.
Excellent. And we'll have you on then to talk about murder and Scrabble. Cannot wait.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing.
Two of my favorite topics.
Absolutely. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, guys. This was a lot of fun.
You just heard that from Hannah Alkaff, author of The Weight of Our Sky, as well as The Girl and the Ghost, which is what we have been discussing. You can share your thoughts and let us know if you've been reading Hannah's work, if you're planning to read The Girl and the Ghost. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and even write to us at buythebook@bfm.my. Us to footnotes. And so you heard earlier our conversation with Hannah Alkaff, and now we are going to be doing our mini book club / mini review of the book itself, which is The Girl and the Ghost. And we roughly touched on the story, but really it starts, just to recap, it begins when a girl, Suraya, inherits a Palisade, a sort of dark spirit who feeds on and is bound to her by blood, inherits the Palisade Pink, whom she names Pink, from her grandma, who she never really knew.
Yes, and you know, just to totally negate how Hannah ended her interview, the book is really fun.
Yes,
it's and that does not mean that it's not. It doesn't do some really important themes and in ways that sometimes sneaks up on you and totally like slaps you in the face. But no, it's such a fun read. It does what all good middle grade books should do, which makes you feel like you're in the story. It has great characters. You identify so much with Soraya. It's a great book. I haven't read a good middle grade fantasy in a while. I enjoyed this tremendously.
Yes, me too. I swept through it. I wanted to know what was going to happen. It was really easy to read, and it was also so beautifully and thoroughly set in Malaysia that you could smell, you know, the kampung that it was set in. You could see the paddies. You could experience and remember what it was like to be a kid riding the bus and going to school and all these different things. And so I think because the real textures and features of the world were so carefully drawn out, it made the fantastical elements even better, you know. It made it even more fun, if anything, because you said you can relate to Soraya, and I totally agree. Soraya is a wonderful character. But I think you can also relate to Pink, who is somebody who also has never had more than one friend, who is trying very hard to be a better, not person, but be a better thing.
A better Felicit.
Yes, be a better Felicit. And also to deal with issues of jealousy and anger, and admittedly not doing that so well at the start. And so I think that, yes, while the Soraya character is utterly believable and just a great person to spend time with, I really liked how angry and bad Pink was allowed to be within the story.
I think that's a great point, because it's a book that doesn't it doesn't make angels of its characters. Soraya's a really, really good person in many ways, but all of their characters are so human. And Pink, I think in particular, Hannah writes him with a real sensitivity. It feels like what you would feel when a friend abandons you. All of those, I know you said it's a big feelings book when we talked about it off air, and I completely agree. And they're not minimized, they're not sanitized, and I really like that about this book.
Yeah, I think a good middle grade YA or even children's book, I think the best of them allow you to appreciate it with the distance that you gain as an adult, and so you're reading it as a good story. But I think the best of them allow you to revisit the feelings that you felt when you were 12, when you were 7, when you were 5, and maybe encountering these stories for the first time. And The Girl and the Ghost really had that. You know, Soraya has a tough time in school, and I felt that. Soraya and Pink... I love that the Felicit is named Pink.
I know.
And
I love
Soraya,
the naming process. I don't want to give it away, but how he gets the name is just hilarious.
And Soraya and Pink, and the fact that the way they grow up together, the way that their friendship is tested, the way that there are moments of real anger and real distance between the two of them, and they feel that gulf growing, I remember that also. Admittedly, not from a blood spirit, but you know, from friends who I perhaps started to realize maybe weren't the best for me. And so I think being able to revisit those feelings and that that very personal bond to our own histories through fiction is what the best of these types of books should give you.
And I just wanted to also point out that adult characters don't usually play a huge place in these kinds of books. And it's true that even in this one, they're peripheral and only sort of show up when they need to. But I think even when they do, there's a lot of effort made to make them seem like people who have complete lives outside of this story. This is Soraya and Pink's story, but her mother, for instance, you feel them, and as an adult. So in that sense, reading it from an adult lens really helps, because from the little bit that you hear of her, you really get what's happening. And I think that's important.
So we haven't talked about the sort of third character in the book, and that is Jing, is Soraya's friend, and increasingly, you know, just sort of the first human person, I suppose, that she has a meaningful relationship with who isn't part of her family. And I also really loved that. I love how the friendship, the beginning of it was quite tentative, and you see how it blossoms. You also see how, for example, Suraya is not very wealthy, and it's made clear through the book that Jing kind of is. You know, she's your classic middle-class, upper-middle-class kid. She's got a phone. She's got a room with a TV, you know, and I love that the differences between their socioeconomic backgrounds is sensitively drawn, but it's not made to be a sort of stereotypical point of contention, which I think a lesser book would have done.
Oh, I think overall the book does such a great job capturing young female friendships, how they become friends, how it's so easy and yet so difficult, the ease in which they just fit together and sort of start growing around each other. Everything I read about the female friendships between Suraya and Jing reminded me of friends I had at that age. And I think that it's just very beautifully captured.
Also, I think we spoke so much in the interview that we don't need to dwell on it too much. But did you find it a scary book? Because I genuinely did.
Oh, there were parts which I was quite scared of, and yeah, not always the most comfortable read at night, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Because the places feel familiar. Like it could be the next Aman.
It could be your room.
I know.
So, I really enjoyed that. And I also agree with mostly everything that Hannah said in the interview about giving kids trust and room to deal with darkness, because I was also a creepy kid who grew into a creepy adult. So I appreciated the book for, it felt like it was written for a 12-year-old me. And, you know, the me as an adult really enjoyed it as well.
Absolutely. You know, I think all kids love reading books that they feel they kind of maybe shouldn't be reading. And that's squarely where this sits.
So we have been talking about The Girl and the Ghost, which is the latest from Hannah Alkaff. Earlier on, we spoke with Hannah herself about, you know, the thinking and the process behind writing this book. So if you'd like to catch that and you missed it, you can find it on podcast. In the meantime, if you want to share your thoughts on the book, if you've read it, if you plan to, and also whether you are either you were either a kid who enjoyed sort of creepier things, or whether you're an adult who believes in introducing that kind of reading to your children, you can let us know your thoughts. WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and write to us at buythebook@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.